Hi, everybody. Welcome to the second episode of Fitness with Feldman. I am Dr. Justin Feldman, and I'm joined today by Dr. John Nunez.
Hey, everybody.
Partner in crime over at Feldman Physical Therapy and Performance. And if you go back to the first episode, so if you haven't listened to the first episode, now's a good time. Hit pause, go back, check out the first episode, and then come back and join us after that. First episode, we spent some time going over an article that was sent to me on Facebook by one of my patients that was titled The 11 Exercises You Should Never Do Once You Hit the Age of 40. And so I started off that podcast by saying that I didn't like the article from the start because I didn't like the title because I hate talking to people about things they shouldn't do. So I figured, with that being said, our second episode should definitely be John and I getting together and talking about exercises that we think everybody should do. So we hit more of that positive note. So John and I talk all the time. We change, you know, our strategies to things. So I thought it'd be fun if we got one of those conversations recorded a little bit so everyone could benefit from it. So John, let's start things off. Recently, what are the first exercise that comes to mind when you think of things everybody should do?
Everybody always, you know, says, oh, I want to get my core stronger. And if you think about, I guess, one of the most common problems in the country is back pain. How many people have back pain? And, you know, people are always shocked and they say, oh, you know, I thought I had, you know, good strong core, and oh, I have back pain, so I don't squat and I don't deadlift. I try not to pick things up, and, you know, so it bothers me when I sleep, it bothers me when I drive. And so right off the bat, I want to talk about, all right, core. So how can we get your core stronger? And it's, you know, the core is not traditionally what people think the core is. It's not about crunches and sit-ups. And I mean, it's always great to look good at the beach, but those muscles aren't really going to help us prevent back pain. As a matter of fact, that's usually what tips the scales in favor of back pain, is you do too much anterior dominant work. You know, we call it anterior, but basically in the front. So anytime you're crunching or doing a sit-up or bringing your knees closer up to your chest, that's what seems to get all the favor. You know, it's fun, it's sexy, and it looks good. So, you know, let's get people doing more stability work, some planks for the core, some side planks, some anti-rotation. I know Justin mentioned that last time. Those are things that even the professional athletes do. You know, if it's good enough for the people that make tens of millions of dollars a year, it's definitely good for us.
Yeah.
So I'm a favor of, you know, getting people, you know, reintroduced to their core. So it's not that we're showing it to them the first time, we're reintroducing it to them, you know, things that they haven't done in a long time. Most children know how to move well, and they strengthen themselves early on as they're learning to walk. You know, the baby's first core program is from, you know, when they're born to, you know, 10 to 12 months of age. When they're moving around, they're learning to develop the muscles that'll help them move and stabilize themselves. So I like to talk about core strengthening and then, you know, transition that into squatting and deadlifting, because everybody has to do that throughout the day. You have to sit in your car, you got to sit down in a chair or get up from a sitting position or pick something up off the ground or pick up, you know, a small child and carry them around. So that's usually a good place to start. People seem to respond well and like it when I talk to them and say, hey, we're going to get you moving. Let's get you doing these exercises.
Nice. Definitely. Yeah, I definitely agree. I think that, you know, all that sort of stuff is a great place to start, and it's stuff that should be included in what everybody does. One thing that you mentioned was the, you know, things that people do as a child. And so one exercise I always like to make people do and throw in there and think is a good thing to keep people doing is crawling. I think that it's, you know, people don't get down on the ground enough, and they don't get down there, and just getting down and doing, it's amazing. You see people do a crawl like a baby, and they're gassed. They can't breathe. They're cooked at the end of it.
Oh yeah. It's fun.
And so I like to kind of get people doing things. I like when things are really easy or look really easy. Someone thinks they're in really great shape, they're a super athlete, and then you give them the simple, easy crawl like a baby, and they're ready to kick you or cry or any of those things.
Oh, yeah, they wouldn't do their child much help at field day or, you know, a little, you know, athletic event, anything like that.
I think one of the other things you mentioned was, you know, deadlifting and that sort of thing. And so one thing I always like to throw into people is I think it's important that people learn how to hinge at their hips.
Oh, yeah.
I think you see people, you know, the amount of times people bend down, pick things up throughout the day and do stuff. I think over time, deadlifting got a really bad name because people hurt themselves.
Yep.
And the phrase I always use, I copied it from somewhere. I don't remember where I copied it from, but you never hurt yourself deadlifting. You just hurt yourself doing bad deadlifts.
Oh, yeah. You're doing it wrong, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
It is a great exercise, though. You're right. Most people just, they go to bend down, and not only do they not bend at the knees, but they bend from the back. You know, they don't get that hip hinge like you said. So, you know, it's, you know, there's a reason why, you know, when we were younger, mom and dad said, oh, hey, sit up straight, or, oh, lift, you know, lift with your knees, not with your back. It's not only does it make it easier for yourself because you're using the bigger muscles, but it protects your back. And when you, you know, see people bend down and pick things up, that low back starts to round out. That's when there's really a lot more force going through the spine and people tend to get a little hurt. So I think you're spot on. Learning to hinge at the hip rather than bend at the spine like a slinky is a much better, I guess, a much better way for them to do that.
Yeah, definitely. What about squatting? What's your feeling on squats?
Oh, I love squats. I love to hate squats.
Yeah, there you go. That, all right. That's what I was looking for.
And even then, you see a lot of people saying, oh, you know, I can squat. I squat at the gym. And there's tons of different squats. You got your barbell squat, your, you know, goblet squat with a kettlebell. You got your back squats, front squats, even the back squats. You got high bar, low bar. And everybody does very different kinds depending on either, you know, what they learned from their friends or, you know, what they found for themselves or what they're comfortable with. And like anything, you want to, you know, perfect that technique and the form before we start adding the intensity and the volume there. So, you know, for somebody who hasn't squatted in a long time, I'm a big fan of, you know, getting that, you know, weight in front of them. So starting with maybe some sort of front-loaded squat, either a goblet squat with the weight in front of them or a counterbalance squat where they can hold that weight out in front of them. And it's a really simple technique that basically just helps flip on the light switches for the core muscles that, you know, they otherwise can't use. And I think that's what you and I find a big, you know, or the most common problem with, right, is it's not that people don't have the muscles, it's just that they're not using them, they're not turning them on, or they don't know how to find them.
Yeah.
So I like getting people who haven't squatted in a long time doing those counterweight squats or a goblet squat. So you know, helps them kind of keep the weight through the heels, again, protect the knees, protect the back, and get that hip drive too.
Yeah, I think the one thing about squatting that it gets kind of like, doesn't get enough notoriety for, just the idea of getting down into that bottom of a squat gets all your joints to the end of their range of motion. And there's such a benefit for your joints to be at that end range of motion from a joint health perspective and knowing how to find their positions and where they are. That one thing I'll even try to get people to do is, even if they have this aversion to squatting and they're afraid of it, I try to just get them to, you know, sit down on the floor like a baby and sit in that squat position, even if they're holding on to something for support, just to start to get their body to learn that it's a safe place to be and start to get them to, you know, slowly get into that position.
Yeah, that's, I think that's a great point, is, you know, A, getting the body used to being there, but like you just said, that, you know, it's okay, it's safe. You know, the body doesn't do anything without our brains okay, really. So like you said, you know, getting into that position tells the brain that, hey, look, it's okay to be in these positions and it's not a problem, and let's kind of get rid of the pain and learn to move here. So I think that's a good position, good point, not to cut you off, but I like it.
All right, so we're hammering the lower body, we're hammering the core. We're up to 8 minutes here, so we promised everyone keep these around 10 minutes. We better get in something for the upper body. I usually, my go-to exercise to try and get people to do upper body-wise is some sort of pulling, rowing type thing. I think it's the opposite way people move. What's your go-to exercise for the upper body that you feel like everyone should just sort of add in to keep a nice, well-balanced program?
Oh yeah, definitely a horizontal pull. That rowing motion, bringing the weight and the resistance towards you, getting out of that push position. And the one thing I only tell, or two things I really tell people when they're doing that pull or that row, it could be a seated row, a TRX row, to be honest, is one of my favorite, getting that suspended row, and it can kind of help people change, you know, the resistance with their body weight. Feet closer to the weight, you know, it'll be a little harder, or to the door will be a little harder, and, you know, the more vertical you are.
The more pizza you eat, the harder the exercise gets?
Absolutely. Gravity's pulling against you. You know, I got to keep them everywhere to counteract. I keep one in the car, eat some pizza, and I'll do some rows. The rows are great, and the biggest thing for that is, you know, making sure you're getting those elbows wide and keeping your chin and your head tucked back. The biggest mistakes I see people make, which will kind of negate the benefits of that row, is they keep their elbows close to their body, and then all that happens is they drive their elbows backwards, because that's a really common coaching cue that we've seen in magazines and with, you know, certain people that are trying to coach other people or cue them. If you keep those elbows close and you just worry about getting them back, you're just going to rock through the shoulder joint, and that's just going to kind of perpetuate all the shoulder issues that we have and rounding out through the thoracic spine, when in reality we want to bring those shoulder blades back. We want to get the elbows high and wide, and if you jut the head forward, you're also just reinforcing that lengthening of the neck muscles that happens so much when we drive or sit, eat, and talk on the phone or text on the phone. You know, we're constantly looking down. So I love the row to open the chest up, open the front of our body up, and, you know, reinforce some strength through the back of the spine and those postural muscles. And like, you know, Justin, you know, getting that thoracic mobility and extension is really, really important for upper body, neck, and shoulder health. So TRX rows, that's my go-to for upper body stuff.
Definitely. I like it. Easy for people to do at home. All right, guys. So that is going to be it for episode number 2 of Fitness with Feldman. We talked about a whole bunch of really great exercises that you can add into your current program, or make sure you got included in your current program. Make sure you keep everything balanced from a strength and injury prevention standpoint. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. As always, we would definitely appreciate your help spreading the word. Share information on Facebook, subscribe on iTunes, leave us a review in either location. Really help get the word out about this. Our goal is we want to try and cover all things health and wellness affecting the Hudson Valley and beyond. So if you have any suggestions for events you'd like us to talk about, topics you'd like to hear discussed, or people you'd like to hear interviewed, definitely shoot us an email. Go over to our Facebook page, FeldmanPhysicalTherapy.com, or find us on Facebook at Feldman Physical Therapy, and just let us know, and we'll try and do our best to get them on. So I'm Dr. Justin Feldman. Got Dr. John Nunez with us. Thank you so much, and enjoy.